Our first reading today is from Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest who teaches religion and philosophy at Piedmont College in the very northeast tip of the state of Georgia. This selection is from her book, An Altar in the World, A Geography of Faith, published last year.
Waiting is certainly a kind of prayer, especially if you can stand howling wide open spaces. Once, between the time my doctor gave me some bad news about my health and the time I was scheduled for surgery to have the bad thing cut out, I found it possible to love my life in ways that had never occurred to me before. I never thought I could value being able to walk around my house and look out all the windows. I never thought of the brickwork on the building where I worked as beautiful before, or the sound of people laughing on the sidewalk outside as welcome signs of life. I never allowed myself the time to take a bath instead of a shower, or to find out how long the hot water lasted if I were not in a hurry. Waiting, I found speechless intimacy with other people who were living in such wide open spaces themselves. We lived in a whole different world from those who thought they were fine. We could spend 15 minutes admiring a rose, a whole hour enjoying a meal. Even if my news had stayed bad instead of getting better, I like to think that these simple pleasures would have lost their power to console me. They constituted an answer to my prayer for more life, even if that life turned out to be shorter than the one I thought I had wanted.
Our second reading this morning is one of Wendell Berry's Sabbath poems. For many years, Berry would go walking through the woods each Sunday morning. He called the poems inspired by those walks his Sabbath poems. They are collected in a volume titled appropriately, A Timbered Choir.
What do the tall trees say to the late havocs in the sky? They sigh. The air moves and they sway. When the breeze on the hill is still, then they stand still. They wait. They have no fear. Their fate is faith. Birdsong is all they've wanted all along.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan.
Who hasn't wanted, as Tico did in the story earlier, to have wings, to be able to fly? Maybe especially on a day like today where we didn't expect the snow so soon. Wouldn't it be great to get up and out of here? Say yes. Humor me. Thank you. Florida. Someone I heard was catching a flight to Florida. Oh, we're jealous. Send a postcard. You'll be there for 24 hours? You're praying then, I can tell. When I was maybe 5, maybe 6 years old, I remember having a dream twice. This is probably the only recurring dream I ever remember. I was standing, my family had a ranch house, and the living room was here, and there was a long hallway. We had a bathroom, my folks' bedroom, my father's study, and the room that my brother and I shared. And in the dream, I was standing right at the start of the hallway, and somehow, all of a sudden, I felt a pressure underneath my arms, and I was lifted up, and I was floating. This was wonderful. This was terrific. And then, the back of the hallway and the ceiling. I couldn't get past the damn ceiling. And so a few years later, when I was about to take my first airplane flight to visit my grandparents for Thanksgiving or summer holiday or something, my uncle turned to me and said, "You know, Eric, the best part of flying, look out, make sure you get a window seat, because the best part of flying is when you just come up above the clouds. And then again, when you're just about to descend into them, you can see the clouds. And if you're lucky, you'll see a whole field, as far as you can see, of cotton miracles." And wouldn't you know, on the day that I flew, I couldn't tell you what kind of clouds they were, except they were perfect clouds. And we sort of were suspended there for a little while, for whatever reason. And I just wanted to be able to run and jump, go cloud hopping. I don't know if that's a word. I'll make it up. And I figured if there was a heaven, this is what I wanted heaven to be for me. To spend the rest of eternity going from cloud to cloud to cloud. I have always wanted to fly. But apparently, someone told me in the receiving line after the first service, I'm in the minority. This person heard a radio interview. There was a study that asked people, this was just on the radio on NPR, so it has to be true. Asked people, if you could be invisible or if you could fly, what would you pick? So let me ask, if you could be invisible or you could fly, one or the other, what would you pick?
Fly.
You're with me, and we're in the minority, because most men would rather be invisible, and most women would want to fly. And they had the rationales. It was really interesting. And maybe men are just that sneaky, we want to, you know. Or ashamed a lot, but he didn't say that. And especially when the cold descends, we long sometimes to break out of it. Who remembers Clarence Oddbody? Oh, we got a couple of educated people over there. Are there people here? Who is Clarence Oddbody?
He's the angel in It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, Brandon gets a gold star. An educated man. Who is an angel second class. He doesn't have his wings. And if you remember the movie, at the beginning, everything is gray for him. He needs to be helped to be able to see, was it George Bailey, the main character? And to be able to help George, to be George's guardian angel. He needs a little help, and he gets help, and he does the job, and there's a bell sound, hit a high note. I know. It's hokey. Yes. And Clarence earned his wings. Thank you. But we know it's not just about flights of fancy. In the reading that Judith told earlier from Barbara Brown Taylor, she had what we can assume, we don't know, but it may have been a cancer scare or at that level. She talked about the bad thing needing to be removed. And during that time, she said she prayed for the experience of more life, no matter how long she had available to her. When was the last time you were in the shower and you stayed in long enough so that it actually got cold? How was the last time you gave yourself that kind of a gift? It's silly, it's hokey, but you know, it feels good. We deserve it sometimes, don't we? She was longing for the experience of more life because she didn't know how much time she was really going to have. And in this time of season, when we're spending too much time, probably, maybe, or at least we tell people we are, buying gifts for others, we're certainly probably spending too much money, wouldn't it be a different thing if we thought about the things we longed for, either for ourselves in our lives or in the lives of those we dearly love? I would like about another month before Christmas Eve. That's what I'm longing for, time to soak in the bath, to get some non-work reading done, to make the phone calls I've been putting off to those I love who are far away. I doubt mine are the only longings like this in the room. What are you longing for? Let's hear from a couple of folks today. What are you longing for this time of year? Who's a brave soul? Here's a brave soul.
Peace.
World peace, peace here, all the above? All of the above. Yes. Your lips, God's ears. Anyone else?
Health.
Absolutely. Others? We'll get there. Yes?
Health.
Better health, yes.
Sun.
Good answer. We've got time for a couple more. Were there folks over here? Yes, sir.
Wisdom.
Why not ask for a lot?
Clear nights for seeing the stars,
absolutely. I saw a couple more, but I'm not sure where. All right. This is my exercise.
Good work for the unemployed.
Hear. Good work for the un and underemployed. One or two more? Oop. Hold on. We need to hear this in your voice.
Less financial pressure.
Absolutely. These are some of the things that we long for, both for ourselves and for, well, stranger, friend, and loved ones alike. It's not about just us. These are gifts for longings for all of us. All of us that share this time. Before I close, I want to tell you about one more dream I had. It was just about a year ago. On Tuesday will be the first anniversary of my mother's death. And I noticed after my father, the day of the death was really important. And I felt it every year. And I'm feeling mom's loss. And it's a little strange telling all these dreams, but I think there's maybe some universal here. I think there may be a teaching moment here. In the dream, Mom had died in the afternoon about 3:00. My brother and I had both planned to travel to Chicago the following day. She died on a Monday. We planned to be there on Tuesday. She died sooner than we thought she was going to. She slipped away peacefully. There were members of her moon group, her women's spirituality group from church, singing, and I'm not making this up, Spirit of Life to her when she slipped away. The news hit as a shock, but we knew the end was coming. We were grateful that she had as peaceful and as sweet an exit as anyone could ever hope to ask. And I was still in grief. So I'm exhausted and I'm sleeping, and suddenly she's there floating above me and to my left, still as a board, her face becoming gray. She's going, if not gone. And to the right is a field eerily like the light through those windows, a milky white sheen. There was a veil that spread the whole field. And I'm looking at Mom, and she's still, and suddenly she turns to me and said one word, peace. Peace. She only said it once. And then, without another hesitation, her still body changed. She jumped. I don't know how else to describe it. She bounded, boom, 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 and crossed through the veil. The milky veil that I can only interpret as the veil between the realm of the living and the dead. I woke up with a start, heart racing, panicked in grief, and then the word that she gave me came back to me. Peace. Peace, Eric. Peace. And I began to relax and realize that both she and I were okay. Whatever your longings for yourself, for others, for loved ones, for friends, for the world, I hope you will find them fulfilled. Whether that's by a long soak in a warm tub, by the company of loved ones, family, and friends alike, I hope this will be a warm season for you, and one in which you somehow, amazingly, find your wings. Thank you. Thank you.